Okay, it is indeed a blessing to have you with us this morning for our morning service and the baptism service in particular. And I want to just bring a short message this morning. It's important that we understand the gospel today, and it is the gospel message that has transformed the lives and you've heard the testimonies about that already this morning. And so we're just going to take a few moments to look into the Word of God and this matter of salvation, how you too can know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Saviour. So I'm just going to read a few verses here from Acts chapter 26 and verse 15 to 18 as we look at the theme of darkness or light, which will you choose? Darkness or light, which will you choose? Acts chapter 26, and I'm going to read from verse 15. Paul is speaking here to King Agrippa, giving his own testimony of salvation. Read some time and study the testimonies of the Apostle Paul. Well, the Bible reads here in verse 15, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles under whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which is sanctified by faith that is in me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the testimonies we have heard already. Lord, what a joy it is to hear the redeemed of the Lord say so. Lord, to speak of lives changed, of hurts healed, of sins forgiven and washed away. And we thank you for that this morning. Lord, it is the burden upon our hearts that there might be someone or someone's, Lord, sitting under the sound of the word this morning who may have not yet taken that most important step of turning from their sin and trusting in thee, Lord Jesus, to be their Saviour. We pray that you would use this message in their hearts, Lord, that they might come to the realization of their need of Christ, that they would be drawn by you, and that they would receive, even this morning, this day, the gift of eternal life, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Every person in this room is a part of one of two kingdoms, and there is no in between. We find the Bible makes that very clear. You are either a part this morning of the kingdom of darkness, or you are a part of the kingdom of light. And so that is the burden of this morning's message. Are you in darkness or in light? Every person in this room is either on their way to heaven or on their way to hell. There is no in between. Every single person under the sound of my voice, and not just within this room, every person in this world is either on their way to heaven or on their way to hell. Every person in this room, and again, every person in this world is one of two families. You're either in the family of God, you're either a child of God, or you are in the family of the devil, the family of Satan. And so this morning, the burden of my message is to challenge you to think about where you are. Are you in the kingdom of darkness or in the kingdom of light? Are you on your way to heaven or are you on your way to hell this morning? Are you in the family of God or in the family of the devil? The wonderful thing is this morning is you can make a choice. And we've heard already the testimonies of individuals just like you and just like me who have come to a time in their life where they realized that they were sinners and that they needed the Lord Jesus Christ, and turning from sin and receiving by faith the free gift of salvation the Lord offers. So I want us to think about these two kingdoms this morning, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Let's think about them for a moment. I want you to think firstly about the kingdom of darkness. Acts 26, 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Don't we live in a world that is dark? A world that is dark with sin. Even yesterday I was speaking to a lady on the door who really wasn't overly interested in the gospel. But when I said to her, "Do you believe in sin? Do you believe there's sin and evil?" She said, "Oh, absolutely." She said, all you have to do as an 85-year-old is look around and you can see the evil in the world. And so it shouldn't take a lot of argumentation to realize that we are living in a world that is full of spiritual darkness. And that's the way we are before we come to know Christ. We are in the darkness of our sin. The Bible speaks about the fact that our minds are darkened and our hearts are darkened. That's the reality of our condition before we come to know Christ. So as we think about the kingdom of darkness, what is it like, or what is this kingdom like? Well, it is a place of darkness, a place of darkness. As we look into this dark kingdom, we see some things about it. We notice in this kingdom that Satan is the master. Satan is the king of the kingdom of darkness. That's a horrible thought, isn't it? If I'm in the kingdom of darkness, then in some way I'm under the mastership of Satan. Did you realize that this morning? That every one of us has a master. There's a lot of talk today about freedom, isn't there? Well, I just want to be free and live my life. I'm not going to make a decision about Jesus Christ. I'm not going to give my life over to him. I'm just going to just live my life. I'm just going to do my thing. May I just say this morning that every one of us in this room has a master. It's either Jesus Christ, the Son of God, either he's your master or the devil is your master this morning. And so in this kingdom of darkness, we find it is a place of darkness and Satan is the master of this place. Now, who is Satan? Well, the Bible tells us that Satan and his demons, his devils, are described in Ephesians 6:12 as the rulers of the darkness of this world. So you can see I'm not making this up. This is what the Bible teaches, that Satan is the king of this realm of darkness. Satan is called the god of this world. Notice it's a little g god. So Satan has tremendous power over this world and this world system. You say, why on earth do the sort of things happen in this world that we see? How is it that governments and people in high places can do such evil things? Well, because behind all of that system stands the Prince of Darkness himself. Satan is the god of this world. He's called in Ephesians 2 verse 2, the Prince of the power of the air. So make no mistake about it, this kingdom of darkness has a master, has a ruler, and his name is the devil, the serpent, Satan. Now, what does Satan do to those under his control? If you are in that kingdom of darkness this morning, you've never come to Jesus Christ, who is the light. This is the reality, and the purpose of this message is to seek to wake you up to the reality of this situation. Well, Satan binds you. If you're under Satan's power, he binds you. The Bible says there in the book of Ephesians 2 verse 2 that Satan works in the children of disobedience. That's a very frightening thought, isn't it? But it's true that without Christ, if you're outside of Christ, Satan has in some way access to your life. He works in your life. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are demon possessed. You might be, but it certainly means that Satan has a lot of influence into your life. Why? Because he is the master. He is the prince and the ruler of the kingdom of darkness. Satan also, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:26, takes the unsaved captive at his will. It's a horrible thought, isn't it? But Satan has a great deal of control in your life. And so as I said before, every one of us has a master. You can't say, well, I'm just an independent free agent. You're not this morning. You either know Christ, who is the Prince of Light and the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Son of God, and what a blessing it is to be under his dominion and to be a part of his kingdom, or you are under the Prince of Darkness, the devil, who is called Satan, who wants to destroy your life and wants to see you end up in a devil's hell. Satan binds you. You bound this morning? Satan also blinds you. Satan blinds you. The Bible tells us in Luke 8 verse 12 that the devil comes along and takes away the word out of your hearts. It could be that even while I'm speaking, the devil is trying to distract your mind even now and make you think about other things or throw objections into your mind and say, that's not true what the preacher is telling you. You see, Satan is a cruel prince of darkness and he wants to take you to hell. Satan blinds, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan blinds you. Much of the world is blind, isn't it? Blind to the truth. Blind to the reality that they are on their way to hell. Blind to the fact that they, while they think they are free, that's the scary thing about it, isn't it? While they think that they are free, in reality, they are under the dominion and the power of Satan. And Satan wants to keep you from being saved. The Bible says he blinds your mind. He tries to keep you from understanding the truth. How does he do that? Well, very often through religion. There's all sorts of ways that Satan tools that Satan uses to keep you in darkness. One of them is religion, by teaching you the false things about God and teaching you that somehow you can get to heaven on your own, that somehow your religion is the answer to your problems. Satan uses religion, make no mistake this morning, Satan uses religion to keep most of the world in darkness. It might be philosophies. It might be atheism, the lie that there is no God. That is simply the lie of the devil, isn't it? And Satan uses these lies, these philosophies, humanism and skepticism and atheism and all these isms to keep you in bondage. What is the purpose of that? Well, because he does not want the light of the glorious gospel to shine into you. You see, he's trying to keep you from the light. That's the reality. So as we consider this kingdom of darkness, Satan is the master. Secondly, sin is the chain. Sin is the chain. Listen to what Jesus Christ said in John 8:34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." That word servant means a bond slave. So did you hear what I said before, that if you are not in Christ, if you have not yet come to Christ and received him as your Saviour, you are not truly free. But what does the world say out there? Well, the world says in order to be free, you need to just indulge and enjoy yourself in sin. True? Just get out there and do it. And the world promotes the idea that somehow the immoral lifestyle or taking of drugs or drinking of alcohol or the smoking of cigarettes, all these things somehow contribute to your freedom. But may I just say, in reality, if you're bound up in any of those things this morning, whether it be lust or immorality or deception or substance abuse or alcoholism, whatever it be, pornography, may I just say to you this morning, you are not free. Those things are chains that the devil is using to hold you as a captive. You're not free at all. Isn't it sad that most of the world gropes around with the chains abound, binding them, clinking there, and Satan blinding their minds and keeping them in darkness? And the greatest deception of all is that they think they're free. Are you bound this morning? Many chains, aren't there? The chain of addiction. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, addictions, immorality, the chain of immorality, the chain of deceit, blasphemy, anger, every sin in a sense is a chain that binds the individual, keeping you from true freedom. You know, I've already mentioned it or alluded to it, though there's another chain which is especially deceitful and especially dangerous. It's the chain of religion. Religion. You say, well, hang on a second. Aren't we here for a baptism service? Isn't this all about religion? No, it is not. You say, I don't really have a lot of confidence in religion. Good, I'll join you in that. I don't either, because may I say that God does not want you bound up in a religion. God wants you to have a relationship with him. A relationship through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as someone put it so well, religion is all about man's attempt to reach God, but true Christianity was all about God's attempt to reach man. And when you look at religion, it's all, when it all boils down to it, it's all about my efforts, isn't it? It's all about me trying to make myself acceptable to God. Hopefully if I follow this big long list of rules here, maybe God will accept me. That's the, when it boils down to it, that's the message of religion. Whether it's Islam, whether it's Hinduism, whether it's Buddhism, whatever label you put on that religion, even many Christian denominations teach a form of works that somehow you can earn your way into heaven. May I just say this morning, that is a lie. The message of the Bible is the complete opposite. That we are not good people, that none of us are good enough for God, that none of us are good enough to get into heaven, and no amount of good works or religion on your part and my part will earn me a place in heaven. God will never accept us on the basis of what we have done. That's why He came and did it all. That's why Jesus came to save us. The Bible tells us. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And notice please, not of yourselves. It is the what? The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A gift is not something you earn, it is something you receive, isn't it? You can't earn a gift, you can't pay for a gift. The very nature of a gift is that someone else paid the price so you could receive it freely, right? And that's what the Lord Jesus did when He came and He died on the cross for you. He paid the penalty of your sins so that you could receive the free gift of eternal life. You don't get saved this morning. You don't get into heaven this morning by being a part of Northside Baptist Church. You don't get saved this morning, or you don't get to heaven this morning by being a part of the Catholic Church or the Anglican Church or any other church or any other religion. You don't get saved by the church. You get saved by Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who saves. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Jesus is the only way to heaven, isn't He? John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many of you have heard the saying, there are many roads to God? How many of you have heard people say that? Maybe you've even believed that at one stage, or you may believe it still. Could I just say, as we think about the kingdom of darkness, that is a lie of Satan to keep you from the truth. There are not many ways to God. But that's the popular belief. Look, doesn't really matter what religion you have, as long as you're sincere, whether you worship Allah or you worship the Hindu gods or you worship Buddha, whatever you do, doesn't matter. All roads lead to God. No, actually, all roads lead to hell except one, which is Jesus Christ. The road of religion will not take you up to the glories of heaven, but to the terrors of hell. And there are millions of people today hurtling down the path that they think is going to take them to heaven. But at the end, the door opens not into heaven, but into the place called hell. And Satan has deceived you. Kingdom of darkness. Satan is the master. Sin is the chain. What else about this kingdom of darkness? Not only is it a place of darkness, but it is a place of damnation. The Bible talks about a darkness, the darkness of hell, a tormenting darkness. Matthew 8 verse 12, it says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:42 says, and He shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. If you are not delivered out of this kingdom of darkness, if you do not turn from religion in your own way, trusting in Christ to save you, then at the end of it all, hell awaits. And I don't say that with hatred in my heart this morning. I say that in love. And I say that to tell you the truth so that you can flee to Christ who will save you. But this is the reality. At the end of the road in the kingdom of darkness, hell awaits. And the challenge is very clear this morning. If you choose darkness in this life, you choose Satan rather than Christ, you choose sin rather than salvation, the reality is, according to the Word of God, if you choose darkness instead of light, you will have darkness for all eternity. Hell is a real place. We have a description of it here in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 to 26. The Bible reads, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. We don't have time to go into detail into this passage, but let me just give you several key observations. Number one, death is real. Death is real. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Make no mistake about it, death is real. Doesn't matter, as this passage reveals, whether you are rich or poor, death levels us all. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. May I just say this morning, and you know it in your heart, it's the reality, every single one of us in this room has an appointment that we cannot cancel. You may have a doctor's appointment, you can cancel that appointment. You may have some other appointment with the tax man, you can cancel that perhaps, they'll chase you later. But you cannot escape your appointment with death. And the frightening thing and the reality is that none of us know when that appointment will occur. You may, with normal appointments, you book the date and the time, you know when it will happen, but the reality of your appointment with death is only God knows the time. It could be today. You say you're using scare tactics. No, I'm just telling you the truth. You know it's the reality of life, that none of us are guaranteed another day on this life, that on this earth. That's why the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's why it's so important for you to settle this matter of your eternity today, before it's too late. And so you choose darkness in this life, it's eternal tormenting darkness in the next. Not only is it tormenting darkness, it is eternal darkness. Hell is called the blackness of darkness forever, Jude 1:13. It's called the mist of darkness forever, 2 Peter 2:17. Don't believe the lie, oh, when I'm dead, I'm 6 foot under and that's it. That's a lie. That is a lie. The Bible makes it clear that, as the passage before us, let's go back to it there, that death is a reality and then we live after that. And so, as we consider the passage there, death is real. That was the first observation. Also, hell is real. Look at verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes. Please understand this morning that there is a hell. Don't believe the lie that hell is a place where you have a party with your mates and a beer with the devil. That's what people think, don't they? I remember what, people think that, oh, I'll just go to hell and I'll have a party with my mates. Listen, hell is real this morning and it is not a place where you have a party with your mates. It is described as a place of torment. So hell is real. Hell is a place of torment. We see that verse 23, verse 24, verse 25, the word tormented, tormented, tormented. Hell is a real place of judgment over sin. And hell is permanent. Verse 26, there is a great gulf fixed, says Abraham to this man, so that they that would pass from you hence, from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Tormenting darkness, eternal darkness. The challenge is clear. Choose darkness in this life and you'll have eternal darkness in the life to come. Are you in the kingdom of darkness this morning? Religious, maybe, but lost. You know, it's possible for you to be religious, but lost. Religious and on your way to hell. I believe there will be many religious people in hell one day. Because they never came by that one way. They thought their own way would get them there. But the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You go your own way and it ends in damnation. You've got to come by Christ, by the cross. But I want to talk to you now for a moment about the second kingdom, the kingdom of light. So we've looked a little bit at the kingdom of darkness. Now we look at the kingdom of light. What is this place like? Well, it is a kingdom of light. A kingdom of light. And we're going to see the contrast here between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. In this kingdom, Jesus Christ is the master. Every one of us has a master, as I said. Jesus Christ is the master in this place. And Jesus is the light, isn't he? Praise God for that. The Bible says in John 1 verse 4 and verse 9, in him, that is Jesus Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 8 verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Look at these words here. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So don't you see the contrast this morning? Here's Satan, the prince of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. But here we have Jesus Christ, who is the light. And that is what God wants to do this morning. Like that verse we read at the very beginning, is that God's desire is to turn you from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that you may receive forgiveness of sins. That's what God wants to do this morning. God does not want you to stay in the kingdom of darkness. We just talked about hell. You might be here and say, does God want to send me to hell? Is God like that? No, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The truth is this morning is that God wants to save you. He wants to change you. He wants to rescue you. Jesus is the light of the world. The light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You have a choice between darkness and light this morning. So we see the contrast. In the kingdom of darkness, Satan is the master. The kingdom of light, Jesus is the master. Who would you prefer? I know who's better, don't you? In the kingdom of darkness, sin is the chain. In the kingdom of light, righteousness is the yoke. We're all going to be servants to something, aren't we? And someone. The choice is clear. You either serve sin and Satan and go to hell for eternity, or you come to Christ, you get saved, and you serve Christ and purity and righteousness and live for eternity. You don't live for eternity because you live right, but you live right because you've been saved. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Is that you this morning? Heavy laden with your sin. And religion hasn't helped. And your church upbringing hasn't helped. And your baptism even hasn't helped. And you thought that somehow all of those good works would change your life and would somehow make you acceptable to God. But you found that you still are heavy laden by sin. Jesus says to you, come unto me, and I will, all you that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's hard work sinning, isn't it? It's hard work living a life of sin. It's a heavy laden life. But what a joy it is to know Christ and to have him as the light of the world living inside you and living inside me and giving you and I the power to live the Christian life. That's what makes his yoke easy and his burden light, is that he is there to bear it with us. Righteousness is the yoke. His commandments are not grievous. And so, as I said, everyone has a master. And it will be either Christ or Satan. Who will you choose today? Kingdom of light, what is it like? Well, it's a place of light, unlike the kingdom of darkness, and it is a place of life, isn't it? A place of life. Kingdom of darkness, place of death. Kingdom of light, place of life. And there's two aspects of this. Number one, an abundant life now. John 10 verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have," what's that word? Life. "And that they might have it more abundantly." Isn't that kind of the desire of most people out there? I just want to live a good life. I want to enjoy my life. Can I just say this? Until you come to know Christ, you're a walking dead person. Because the Bible says, according to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, that before you come to know Christ, you are dead in trespasses and sins. And can I just say that you will never know life in the true sense of the word until you come to know the Prince of Life, who is Jesus Christ. You will never come to know life until you come to know Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're saved here this morning, we've heard some testimonies, haven't we, about people who came to a clear point in their life where they trusted Christ. Their life in the true sense of the word began that day they got saved. And it's the same for you. The day you got saved was the day your life really began, didn't it? You think about your life before you were saved. That wasn't living. That wasn't a joyful life and an abundant life in the true sense of the word. That was a life of bondage in sin and a life in darkness. But aren't you thankful there came a time where you passed from death unto life? Abundant life now. Doesn't mean that it won't be without its trials. We're not preaching a prosperity idea of an abundant life, but they're truly an abundant life in a truly spiritual sense. Yes, there will be trials in the Christian life. Yes, there will be hardships, but Christ, who is the life, is there with you to enrich your life and to bless you. But most importantly, eternal life in the future. John 17:3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That's one side of it, isn't it? The wage of sin is death. That's where we're all headed apart from Christ. But here's the contrast. "But the gift of God is" what? "Eternal life" through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. God wants to give you eternal life as a gift. But it's through Jesus Christ. Not through religion. Not through a church. Not through baptism. Not through speaking in tongues. Not through anything else except for the one, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You've got to come to Christ this morning if you would receive the gift of life. And so we thought about the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. Maybe you're here this morning and say, "How do I get out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light?" I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to end with this, the way of deliverance. How do we get out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light? That's what God wants, doesn't it? Acts 26:18, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light." Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us." That's what we need, don't we? "Delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son." That word "translated" means to be transferred. So at the moment, if you're not saved, if you haven't trusted Christ as your saviour, if you have not yet received the gift of eternal life, you're in the kingdom of darkness. And what you need is for God to deliver you. He's going to set you free if you repent and turn to him. And what does God do when we get saved? Well, he takes us, he translates us, he takes me out of the kingdom of darkness and he places me into the kingdom of his dear son. And that's what God desires for you this day. How do I escape the kingdom of darkness? Well, maybe we could ask the question, what must I do? What must you do? You said, "I thought we can't do anything." No, that's right. We can't do anything in the sense of earning our salvation. But we can turn to Christ, can't we? We can reach out an empty hand and receive the gift of eternal life. If you would be delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light and life, you need to do at least three things here. You need to repent. You need to repent. You need to, or we could say the word turn. Now, when we say the word repent, don't misunderstand, I didn't say reform. I didn't say that you need to try and fix your own life, nor did I use the word penance. The concept of penance is where I do some good works to offset the bad. That is not what I'm talking about this morning. Repentance is a change of mind and attitude. I realize that I am a sinner on my way to hell and I don't want to continue on the path of destruction. And so I turn from sin in my own way. I turn from my sin and to Christ. Or we could say, I turn to Christ from my sin. It's a turning from and a turning to. Repent. Ye, says Jesus, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Testifying both the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God, it's the 180 degree turn we could say, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Then you need to receive. So I turn from my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, and by faith I receive forgiveness of sins, and I receive the free gift of eternal life. But as many as received him, who's him? Stay with me now. Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you see the word receive and the word believe are in the same verse? So to believe is to receive. To receive is to believe. They're connected together. So I turn from my sin. I'm truly sorry for my sin. And turning from it, I turn to Christ and I believe that he died for me. I believe that he was buried and that he rose again. And by faith, I receive the free gift of forgiveness, the free gift of eternal life. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be what? Saved. Saved from what? Hell. Saved from sin. The word saved means to be rescued. You need to be rescued this morning. Thirdly, confess. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Sin, saved from hell. Can you see God wants to save you this morning? Wants to rescue you? What a blessed word that is, the word saved. To be saved, where God reaches down and saves me, rescues me, and it's available to you today. If you will do, as I said, those three simple steps, turn from my sin, that's repentance, believing that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and rose again, receiving then through simple faith the free gift of eternal life, confessing him in a simple prayer that he is Lord, that he is the Christ, and trusting in him, calling upon him to save you. Any one of us can do that, can't we? With God's help, we can turn, believing in our hearts that Christ was died on the cross for my sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again, and calling upon him, Lord, save me. Forgive me. I reach out the hand of faith and receive the free gift of eternal life. What must you do to be saved? You need to repent of your sin, receive Christ, trust, and confess. And if you do that, what will Christ do? If you do that today, what will Christ do? Well, we've already talked about it already, haven't we? He will turn you from darkness to light. He will deliver you from the power of darkness, and you'll be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. You must understand this morning that it is only God who can deliver you from darkness. You cannot get out of that kingdom of darkness on your own. You can try with all of your efforts. You can try through good works. You can do whatever you can try to do, but you have no power to deliver yourself. You cannot escape Satan. You cannot escape sin through your own efforts this morning. You need to cry out to the one who can, and he does the work. He does the saving. You can't save yourself. So when you call out to Christ, as I've explained, in faith, repenting of sin, then Christ will do at least these five things for you. Number one, Christ will save you. Christ will save you. He'll reach down and pull you up out of your sin and destruction. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christ will save you. He wants to save you today. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then he will transfer you and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This will all take place in that moment where you turn from your sin and, repenting of your sin, trust Christ to save you. In that split second, he'll save you. He'll take you out of the kingdom of darkness. He'll break those chains of sin that bind you. He'll break the power of Satan in your life, and he'll place you into the kingdom of his dear Son. He will cleanse you. Don't we need to be cleansed? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to, what's that word, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't we need to be washed? But baptism can't wash away your sin. Religion can't wash away your sin, and the priest certainly can't take your sins away if you confess to him, because he's a sinner too. And we're not taking these people down this morning into the baptismal tank because we think the water's going to wash away their sin. They've already been washed. They've already been cleansed, because there is no power in physical water to transform your life, but there is power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse you. Christ will forgive you. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You say, but you have no idea the sort of sins I have committed. And sometimes this is a barrier for people. You say, God could never forgive me. Can I just say this morning that there is no sin that God can't forgive? The deepest stain of sin, the deepest stench of sin can be washed away. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you. And he will forgive you if you'll come by faith. And Christ will transform you. Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you hath he quickened. The word means to make alive. At the moment you're dead in trespasses and sins. But when you come to Christ, he'll make you alive. He will make you alive again. He'll give you a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Can I just say this morning, on the authority of God's word, if you come like a child this morning, if you come in simple faith, casting yourself upon the mercy and upon the grace of God, he will change your life forever. And so, where are you this morning? Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. Oh, I was raised in church. That's not what I asked. I was baptized when... No, that's not what I was asked. I was sprinkled as a baby. That's not what I asked. I spoke in tongues. That's not what I asked. I said this morning, have you been saved? Are you still in the kingdom of darkness, or are you in the kingdom of light? There's only way to get out of the kingdom of darkness. That's through Christ, through salvation, not through your works, by reaching out empty hands and receiving by faith the free gift of forgiveness, the free gift of eternal life. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which is sanctified by faith that is in me. Which will you choose this morning? Let's all bow for prayer, shall we? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. I know we're here this morning